Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
A lot of the guests we've had on this podcast have kind of gone the traditional route of building their portfolio. They've used realtors to find the properties and banks to finance them. But my guest today has a totally different approach. He's using a lot of creative ways to both find properties and to finance them. And he's done a really great job. He's built a portfolio of 16 rentals over the last couple of years. And I want to kind of figure out what he's doing to build this portfolio. Joining me on the show is Mike Delpreet from Phoenix. Mike, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in real estate?
For sure. And first off, Dan, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Definitely be happy to tell you about myself. Mike Delpreet here in Phoenix. My company is We Heart Houses. And right now, I started off mainly wholesaling is how I started my career off. Been doing that. Did over 200 deals in less than 5 years. Just other people's money, other people's credit. And then I started transitioning into buy and hold, where the wealth is and I think where the freedom is and where I'm going to get more time to spend with my family. So I'm just want to share my story and what I've learned and give back because mentors helped me get to where I am. So I feel I just want to share that.
Awesome. Well, before we get into your story, for anyone that doesn't know, why don't you just explain how wholesaling works? I think this is an interesting way for people to get started in real estate.
Yes. I think it's the best way to get started. You're pretty much finding value in the marketplace, and then you're selling that value in the marketplace. So you're buying property at a discount, and you're selling it at a discount. So you can leverage that with no money, no credit. It's the best way to get in because you get to meet investors. You get to meet fix and flippers, landlords. You get to learn the lingo and how deals work and build good relationships. So when you're ready to take that first step and buy a rental or a flip yourself, you got some experience under your belt.
With that wholesaling experience, you've got to know your numbers cold because you're selling to investors and investors are all about the numbers. Do you feel like that experience as a wholesaler really helped you or really set you up to be successful as a landlord?
Yes, because for many reasons, you know, because if you want to be a landlord and you're starting off as a wholesaler, I suggest you try to wholesale to landlords, right? Mm-hmm. So this way here, you get to pick their brain, see how they think, right? And then that's what I learned in wholesale is you got to put yourself in that buyer's shoes. And when you analyze a new property that you find, you got to act and think like you're that investor so you can sell the deal or you can negotiate the deal properly. Because if you don't negotiate it properly, then you just got a dead deal you're wasting your time on just hoping and praying that someone buys it.
So wholesaling is different in the sense that you're getting quick money. It's large chunks of money where with owning rental properties, it's more of a long-term game. Was that kind of a hard transition to kind of change your mindset away from, hey, I can wholesale this and make $15,000 or I can rent this and I'm going to make a few hundred bucks a month?
I fight that every day. I'm still, it is hard. And not to be, to make it sound scary or anything like that. I think it is a challenge. I think you got to be strong, man. You got to really understand why you're doing it and what your goals are and the benefit you're going to receive from accomplishing that goal of building your portfolio. I get deals all the time from my old marketing that call into my marketing numbers. And, I just picked up a condo and it's like, oh, I'm about to close on it. But I'm like, do I keep it? Like I can make $6,000 right now, And so it's like, do I take the money now or do I just hold it? Make $250 a month and just forget about it, right?
Right, so right.
It's an addiction. to be able to pick up your phone, analyze the deal, get an accepted offer, know you can pick up the, go in your Rolodex, whatever it is, and call someone and make $5,000, $10,000 and not do anything. I mean, it's an addicting thing.
Yeah, I bet. So tell me about your portfolio now. I guess, first of all, with your, you must be getting really good deals. I mean, just with all your experience wholesaling and making sure that there's enough profit for you and also for the person that's buying the property, are you getting your properties way under market value?
Well, yes, under today's market value, yes. Okay. But when it comes to wholesale, so when you're wholesaling, you can ride the market as it's appreciating, right? Because you know you're selling to flippers, you know, they make their money on the appreciation, so you can ride those up and get those lower offers even though they're increasing. But on the buy and hold side, it's a little more challenging because I have a formula that I use, a go or no go numbers that. I make my offers on a 50% expense ratio, so I'm very conservative. So no matter, even though the market's really high, cap rates in my area are 5-7%. My offers are getting rejected left and right, but you got to stick to those numbers, though.
Let's talk about your numbers and your formula. So 50%. So you're counting that taxes, insurance, maintenance, CapEx, whatever other expenses you would have are going to be 50% of the rent?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Gross expense. So I do the purchase price times 1.5%, which that 1.5% takes in consideration, 50% expense ratio. And if I believe it was 2% debt service. So you got everything covered in that formula. And then purchase price times 1.5% equals, and that's what your gross rents need to be at or above.
Okay. So for a $100,000 place at 1.5%, you want to rent that for $1,500 a month, just to talk in round numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay. So out of that $1,500, you're going to take half of that, and that's going to go to your expenses or budgeting for your expenses, and then the other half would cover your mortgage? And then be your profit?
Yeah. It covers.
Okay. That's interesting. And those deals are out there. I mean, people, I know a lot of times people struggle, especially in places like Phoenix where prices have appreciated. People are really struggling to find deals that would cash flow that great, but they're out there, right? So you're able to find those. What are you doing to find those deals? Like what kind of strategies are you using?
Okay. And dip into the strategies, right?
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's that little, which I got from wholesaling is just that little extra effort, that little extra hustle. So I was on Zillow, right? So you probably think, everyone goes on Zillow, realtors, wholesalers, you name it, right? So I was like, I went on there and I was calling all the for sale by owners with multi-units. There's very little that were available. This guy was on Zillow for 220 days. He had a 7-unit and it was a D area. And so I just called him, just chat with him and see what he's got going on. He was asking like $280,000. This property probably wasn't worth $150,000, $160,000 based on what I would offer. And so I was just talking to him, getting all the information, seeing why he's selling. And I was like, okay, well, since you're retiring and you have 7 units, do you have any other units? And he's like, yeah, actually I do. I have another 4-unit across town. So the reason I say that is he was like, wow, nobody ever asked me that. So 220 days on Zillow, million realtors, million wholesalers, overpriced house. No one ever asked him if he had properties. It sounds simple
to me,
but that little extra question. So, that brought more deals. So I just wanted to add that little extra effort. When you're doing your marketing, to think outside the box is what helps get you more offers. So now I didn't buy any of the properties because he wanted too much. But I went from, offering on 7 units to 11 units.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's go back. So tell me about your first rental. What was the first property that you ended up keeping to rent out?
First rental, I was wholesaling and it kind of fell on my lap. It ended up being two within like a month. So wholesaling, all you think of is find a distressed seller, lowball them, get it locked up, option contract, find your buyer and sell it. So I had a fix and flipper landlord. He did a little of everything. I brought a deal to him that was in Central Phoenix in a historic neighborhood. And he looked it out. I sold it to him at $10,000. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, you want to buy this deal for $10,000? He was like, sure. Why don't we just partner on it? And I was like, okay, I don't have any money. What do you want me to do? I don't know how to swing a hammer or anything. He's like, give me the deal at $10,000. The deal was to keep bringing him deals, right? Uh-huh. Make it the first shot. So I purchased the prop. I locked it up for five. He purchased it from me at 10. So I made $5,000 on the upfront wholesale. He put $8,000 into the deal to renovate it. So we're all in at 18. So then from there, we're going to rent it out and fix it up. Then after that, he brought it up. He was like, hey, Mike, know what we're going to do? We're going to refi this with one of my private lenders. So he refied it for $25,000, recouped his $18,000. Then I think we put $3,000 in each in our pocket after uh-huh. we renovated it. Then we rented it out for $800 a month. Wow. And I've owned that for going on 5 years.
That is awesome. And how much cash flow was that bringing you? Or is it bringing you now every month?
That's about $300, just under a $300 check. It fluctuates wow. vacancies and repairs.
Yeah, sure.
So that deal opened my mind to more strategies, right?
Yeah.
Just because you're a wholesaler doesn't mean you just buy low and flip it. Now I'm learning, hey, I could enter these deals with different entrance strategies, such as seller carrybacks, wraps, joint yeah. ventures.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what got you the bug that, hey, I got to get more rentals after that. So was it even something that was you were thinking about doing, or was it just that deal got you interested in rental properties?
That deal lit the spark.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I didn't know that investor more, and then finding out he had 50 rentals, it was his own. And yes, it was new to me, so it was kind of just marinating there. It was in the back of my mind now I'm looking at these deals, selling them cheap. I'm like, I still wasn't there yet, but yes, it did spark it. And then within 30 days, I found another property we bought for $40,000. We converted it into a commercial office space, and we bought that for $40,000. We did the same thing, same deal, no money out of my pocket, just brought the deal to the table, kept me involved, owned it for the last 5 years. So that's how I got my first two within within like a month.
Have you done any traditional bank financing for any of your deals, or are you always kind of looking for a creative angle?
Yeah, always creative, always been private.
That's awesome.
I purchased a personal property with a bank financing years back, but that was about it.
That's awesome. So tell me about your sixplex deal.
The sixplex, that's right outside of Phoenix, Mesa, Arizona. I have a joint venture partner on that as well. And what we did is, so how that kind of operated, a wholesaler brought me this deal. I was looking at it, he sent me the pictures and, I started, he let me talk to the seller over the phone. She wanted 200 cash and I wasn't really seeing it. And I didn't want to pay cash because I'm always looking, I always shoot for the leverage first and trying to get her to do a carry back. So what I learned there in the beginning is I set the appointment, and I went and talked to her. We talked for like 2 hours and she was willing to do a carry back. So we brought it up again. So what it really came down to, she wasn't even aware. That's another thing. The sellers don't know this stuff either. So she has a surgery. Mm-hmm. So she just wanted her cash. The property's been vacant for 17 months. She's wanted her money and move on, which is understandable. However, her pain was she needed, I think it was like 16,000-18,000 for a surgery or whatever was going on in her life. So we offered her $25,000 down and $175,000 carry back. So this allowed her to reach her goal of, you know, getting the surgery done and have some money and feeling comfortable. At the same time, we got to meet and she got a good vibe. Everyone was, you know, got along. And I think that initial meeting was able to meeting each other helped, got to talk it through, found out her pain. And that's how we acquired the property at $25,000 down, $175,000 note.
Okay.
So it's a duplex, a 3-bedroom duplex with a 1-bedroom on the second unit. And the rest are 5 separate structures of 1-bedrooms.
Okay.
So it's a unique area.
Yeah. And give me some numbers on that. What are the units renting for?
Those units are renting for $550, and we got $925 on the 3-bedroom.
Okay.
So let me pull my script, but D times 5 is 270 plus 9. So we're at just on about $3,700 gross.
Okay.
So what we did from there is we got a private lender because it was vacant for 17 months, hasn't been updated in 15 years. So we went and got $70,000 on a promissory note, which I was shocked. That was a first for me. Usually someone wants a lien position, but we got $70,000, used the 70 to put the $25,000 down payment, put the rest towards rehab and reserves.
So you were able to get someone to give you $70,000 without them having a lien on the house?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. How did you work that out?
That's my partner on this deal. That was his relationship. Okay. So he's an investor just like us. In that area, he has about 30 units. But that's part of relationship building.
Yeah.
He's just done so many deals with that person, always worked out. Whatever, you know, that's our business in real estate is 80% relationships.
Sure.
And that's very important. And I was shocked to see that too, but it happened. And here we are. So we did a 1-year term with the seller and the lender. So now we're making payments to them. And it was actually 70 grand at 8.5%, which I thought was pretty good.
That's
for
really
us.
Really good. Yeah.
100%, no fees. No down payment, anything. So,
wow.
So we got that wired in. Now this happened in the beginning of January. So we're all leased up as of last week.
Awesome.
So we're expecting that we could probably appraise this for close to 350, 400 in that range. We'll then refi. We're considering refining with the institution, right? As well as looking for private lenders.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll pay off our, I think it was 240 to the seller and, the investor. And that's it. We'll be done.
That is incredible. And are your payments to the investor for the 70K, are they interest-only payments or are you paying principal too?
Yeah, those are interest-only. And what we worked out with the seller was she wanted $200 a month, all principal. And okay. it's only a year, but I mean, it still helps.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So. Well, Michael, this is really incredible. You have really built a great business. And what makes me really excited about it is you're just getting started. I really would like to talk to you here on the show in a couple of years and see what you've done. Because I think you're going to be able to build a huge portfolio with very little of your own money. So Michael, if someone wants to reach out to you or look you up online, where's the best place to find you?
Yeah, my website is weheartshouses.com.
Okay.
Weheartshouses.com. You can go to my blog section. I got other podcasts I've been on. I've got little short YouTube videos. Everything's just informational. I have also you can download a free ebook. I talk about using your self-directed IRA to get into real estate and other business opportunities. And if I could share something, Dan,
yeah,
what helped me gain that mindset of buy and hold and is really listening to Robert Kiyosaki as well and playing Cash Flow 101, the board game. Are you familiar with the board game?
I played that for the first time maybe 2 months ago. Yeah, a really, really good game. If anyone hasn't checked that out, there's a lot of meetup groups where people get together and play that game. But yeah, it's really, really a great game.
It is, and it's a steady reminder because I host the game here in Phoenix. So if you're in Phoenix, feel free. I am on meetup.com and the events are on my website. It's a great reminder. It's a great tool. It's kind of like Robert Kiyosaki says, if you want to learn to fly a plane, do you want to learn to fly in the air or in a flight simulator? And obviously in a simulator, this board game, I can say, is like a real estate simulator. So if you want to try new strategies, wholesale, fix and flip, whatever it is, you could put these concepts on the board game and learn from other investors playing. And it keeps me motivated as well. It keeps me on my toes every week when I play and look back at my production that I've done throughout the week, knowing I need to get more offers out and so on. So
we've got links to everything Mike just mentioned, as well as a summary of today's show that you can check out at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode72. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this is the Rental Income Podcast.